Love that last song.
Would you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8? Just to remind you, the Gospel of John opens rather dramatically with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And of course, he's talking about Jesus Christ. That's very important. And to remind you just a little bit about that first chapter before we look at the verses that I want to use as my invitation call to anyone who is subject to the Lord's invitation. He said that he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. This is at verse 3 of John 1. And that without him was not anything made that was made. And the most amazing, most powerful thing about this individual was in him was Zoe, was life. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not been able to overcome it. Then he talks about the last of the Old Testament prophets showing up in the person of John. He was not the light, but he was a witness to the light. And in verse 9 it says, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but by the will of God. I just love that. That's what I call 100-carat gold. No, you can't get 100-carat, 24-carat gold passage of Scripture. It's dynamite. Then you come to John 8. And at verse 12, it says, Jesus spoke to them saying, you know what? I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's calling us out of the darkness. He's calling us into the light of truth itself. And so he says to the Pharisees, he says, you're bearing witness about yourself, and Jesus talks about having a greater witness than that. And that is not only his Father, but the Holy Spirit that was his partner and dweller in his life. If you want life to the fullest, no holds barred, a guaranteed, an ironclad promise. You can deal with every sin in your life. I mean, every one of them. And make you clean. He can take all your disappointments and cast them away and remember them no more. He offers you tonight a salvation that is like no other. So great a salvation, the writer of Hebrews said. How can we neglect? How can we ignore so great a salvation? There's nobody else that can save you like Jesus. and if you're subject to the invitation, then you need to come to him not on your terms, but on Christ's terms. He says, unless you repent, you're doomed to perish. You need to confess what faith is telling you, what faith not only whispers in your ear, but shouts on the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then to come down to the waters of baptism and let Jesus' blood wash away all your sins, because he saves to the utmost. He's better than tide, that's for sure. Deep down, clean, all the way through. Whiter than the snow. Dear Lord, I want to be. There is somebody here this evening that wants to be whiter than the snow, or who needs the prayers of their brothers and sisters in Christ, who needs strength to get through this week, to get through the rest of the day, to get through tomorrow, with all the tomorrows that will come. Will you come? Come together.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Dick Williams, would you lead us in a closing prayer?
Understand that Francis Taylor had a birthday on Wednesday. Is that right? We're not telling her age, right? That just that she has achieved that age to which her birth certificate said it began on. My mother-in-law, Berta, going to celebrate her birthday on the 31st, Wednesday. And I'm going to tell her age because she can't beat me. She's 93. Mom, that's a fantastic achievement. 93 big ones. So, God is good. Not your doing, that's right. It's by the good Lord's providence and will that you have lived so long. Darkness can be a metaphor for a lot of things. Darkness isn't just that point in time, Frank, where God divides the day against the night. He calls the lighter part of that particular time frame day and the other part night. We talk about darkness in lots of ways. Winston Churchill talked about his two black dogs, and it was his depression and his despondency that would dog him from time to time, even in those years of the war, of World War II, when Hitler, another kind of darkness, was trying to turn all the lights out across Europe and in Asia with the Axis powers. I want us to engage in a little bit of have you known darkness in your life? If, say, darkness is a metaphor for like Job 14 verse 1, man is born of woman and is of a few days, and then trouble starts to happen. Tragedy. That's another name for a dark period in your life. I believe there is a purpose for it all. Sometimes we can figure it out, John, fairly quickly, and then there are others who spend a lifetime wondering why that darkness entered their lives. And so I want us to turn to Job. Job is our universal character of tragedy. He is an individual who has seen a lot of darkness in his life. Everything was just doing fine with Job, and then the trouble came. Job is making a reply in the 19th chapter of that particular book. And in verse 8, this is where I want to get a conversation going. He says, he has walled up my way so that I cannot pass. There's no way on. And he has set darkness upon my path, or paths. We always attribute, or at least in some of the cases, we attribute darkness, whatever it's the metaphor, for suffering, for tragedy, for bad news, for sad news, for death, for wickedness. The list goes on and on. But here is an instance where, from Job's point of view, Job's perspective, things are happening or not happening in his life because his life has reached a roadblock. You ever been at a roadblock? And you want to move forward, but you can't. Sometimes the way forward is blocked. There's no way to the sides. And you have one other choice. Maybe two. Stay where you're stopped. Or go back. You been there? You struggle with those choices. Here, Job is talking about a darkness in his life. I think it's in Isaiah 45. Open up your Bibles there. We'll come back to Job 19. Isaiah 45 and verse 7. This has been an interesting passage of Scripture that has engendered a lot of discussion and a lot of sermons over who's running the darkness here. God says to his prophet Isaiah, "I form the light and I create darkness." Does anybody have another word besides darkness in your text? If you have King James, it probably reads calamity. It says, "I form the light, create darkness. I make well-being, and I create calamity. I'm the Lord who does all those things." Now come back to Job. What has happened to this man? Tell me some of the things that you know about his darkness. Becky. He had boils all over him. Wife said, "Forget God. Just curse God. Turn your face to the wall and die." Because she didn't see anything good coming out of where he had landed. And all these boils, painful. Plus the pain on the inside of this man who's lost his children, has lost a lot of his wealth. Things were going extremely well for this guy. One upon whom the righteousness of God shone. And then he says in verse 19 or verse 8 of chapter 19, he has walled up my way so that I cannot pass. Do you ever get frustrated about not being able to go on further than you want to? Things aren't happening, you know, the way you think they should. And here God walls you up. In fact, if you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139, here, David, this is one of the 70 plus psalms that he writes. I think he was, as he starts down through from verse 1 and just stopping before you get to verse 11 and 12, I almost think of the actions of Jonah by trying to outrun God. And you can't outrun God. And when you get to where you think you should be going, God pulls you back. God says, I know you hate to do this, but I'm requiring you to make a U-turn. Because I need you back here. I don't need you over there. And then he talks about how the darkness of David in his mind, about how that maybe he could hide in the dark, Kevin, and that God wouldn't be able to see him. I've been some places where it was really, really dark. Anybody ever been to Carlsbad Caverns? Have you been down there when they turn out the lights? And aren't you glad when they turn them back on? They tell some hair-raising stories about people who get lost down there, so you sort of stick close and pay attention to your guide. By the way, in verse 8 of Psalm 139, he says, if I ascend to heaven, guess what? God's there. If I make my bed in Sheol, Sheol was what place in the Hebrew mind? Death. The grave. He says, if I make my bed in Sheol, guess what? You're there. Now let me ask you this. You remember a song, team, about the lights that went out in Georgia? Yeah. Yeah. Lights were going out all over the East Coast today and last night. And you really don't appreciate having the light until you don't have any. He says, if I take to the wings of the morning, parts of the sea, if I do a Jonah. He says, even there your hand shall lead me. Even there. You know, God is much with us in the darkness as he is when the way is unblocked and clear. He says, and your right hand shall hold me. Anybody scared of the dark here? I was scared of the dark for a good long while. I'd be so scared, especially in winter months, and would frost a full moon. The long fingers of a winter tree would creep across through the window and across the wall. And then you would hear things. You know, the things that we talk about that go bump in the night. I'd get scared. But you know what brought me back to I'd be all right? Was the loud snores of my father in the next bedroom. My father was 6 foot and something. And whatever was going bump in the night in my room, he could take care of. Even asleep. My God tells us, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. He will take our hand. You know, Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. Verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's a dark place. It's a scary place for some people. You know that their darkness is to have hanging over them terminal illness, an operation, an unknown. It all fits in with darkness descending. Have you ever noticed blind people do not depend depend on their eyes anymore. And so what becomes more heightened in their life? Their sense of hearing. I thought to myself as I was wanting to share this and get you talking a little bit, it seems like I'm doing all the talking. If I surely say the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. There isn't any depth of blackness or darkness that God cannot see as if it were day. So when you're sitting in the dark, and the lights have gone out, and your way has been blocked, what is it that, I'm thinking of Job in that 19th chapter in verse 8, you have walled me up, you've stopped me from going forward, and you have set darkness in my path. Why would God do that? What is God trying to say to us while we dwell in the darkness? Berta hit it right on the head. Follow me. Follow my lead. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, because thy staff and thy rod, they comfort me. What it's dealing with is, God knows where he's going, even though you and I may not be able to see clearly where it is we're going. Maybe we know, Bill, we've reached a stopping place. And God maybe has created the stopping place to help us to strain for his voice. Yes. Now, certainly, that is an interpretation of that. Yes. But think about it. Have you ever thought about sometimes, I've heard people say, you know, I have never had much time for God in my life. And you know, these last 6 months, he's put me on a bed of sickness. And I've had 6 months to think about God. 6 months to think about the direction of my life. 6 months to think about, should I be given the health to rise up from this bed? I will make something of my life with God. Sometimes that's what happens in a dark place. We can either curse the darkness, or we can use the darkness to go with God, take his hand. You remember when the kids were small, they'd say to you, Ken, are we there yet? Where are we going? They'd ask that question, if not one time, a million and one times. Are we there yet? Where are we going? When are we going to get there? You know, and you feel like, you know, yelling at them, and you're just driving along, and then they're singing John Jacob Jingle Hammer Smith song a million times, and all of that kind of stuff. The Bible says that Abraham went out not knowing exactly where he was going with God, but he decided to go with God on it. And when he left Ur, when he left everything that was near and dear to him, he went into a a darkness, if you will, that he wasn't stopping God every 5 minutes and saying, are we there yet? The Bible did say that he had faith. When we strain to hear God speak, especially in the darkness, I'm convinced Romans 14:17 makes sense. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. And you and I may not have all the answers about where we're going, but I do know this, Frank. It's upward. You're going to say something, Frank. You strike a match, and what does the darkness do? It recedes. It recedes. Frank, could you grab a Bible and read 2 Samuel 22:29? Then I'm stopping. Second Samuel 22, verse 29. All right. In the ESV, it says, God lightens the darkness, takes the fear out of it. Teen, when you were going through all that you've gone through, didn't God lighten the darkness for you? Even though there were days when it was dark. This week, if you find somebody who is in a place of darkness, tell them not to use their eyes so much as to use their ears to hear God and His Word speak. When God speaks, lives will be changed. Just like God, Joanne, He says, let there be light, and it was so. End of this, very good. God is hoping that more and more men and women will come to faith the way it should be come to, is by hearing the word of God, because that's how faith enters us. And faith will not disappoint us. Faith will bring us home to God in obedience. So when God blocks your way, maybe He is wanting you to stay put for a little while and trust Him even in the dark. Because just remember this about the dark to God. It's not dark to Him. Take His hand. Walk with Him up and out of that darkness. God is the deliverer. Amen. All right. For those who haven't had an opportunity of having communion today, we